So we are looking today at Holy Spirit upon you. Can we say that together? Now let's make it personal. Say Holy Spirit upon me. Can you say that with me? Holy Spirit upon me. Amen. Now open your Bible to Acts 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. We're going to say journey through Acts. I may take you back to Luke once in a while, because it was the same author that wrote Acts and Luke. And you know the beautiful thing about it. Yeah, I learned this from someone, but I'll share it with you. Acts 1:1. Read Acts 1:1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read here. It says, the former account, so this is Luke, and Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. And, you know, he worked with Jesus. He worked with the apostles. He knew a lot. So he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and it's the same one who is continuing here with Acts. And I think he's writing to the same person, because it says, Acts 1:1 says, the former account I made, O Theophilus. So meaning that he wrote Luke to a man called Theophilus. And then he wrote Acts. The question is, what is the meaning of Theophilus? It's a Greek name. Now, we can break it down. And you see that even in that, there's something coded. Theo means what in Greek? Come on, church. God. Theo is God in Greek. What of Philos? Okay, to simplify Philos, think of file. If I say someone is, you know, a Europhile. What does that mean? Politics. Any political minded person? Europhile, what does that mean?
Person.
You know, when you say something fire, that means they love. Fire means love. Yeah? A Europhile loves Europe. Yeah? And the opposite is the Eurosceptic. Amen. Yeah. So, Theophilus, in the English shorting, is a Theophile, a lover of God. Amen. So, Luke is writing this book to a lover of God. And who is that? Who is that? It's you and I. Yeah? So he's writing to a person, but encoded is that he's also writing this gospel and acts to a lover of God. So say with me, if you believe it, that I'm a Theophile. Because I'm a lover of God. My fifth name is Theophilus. Hallelujah. It's a good name. If you're looking for a name, it's a good name. Theophilus. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse. I would like someone to read for me. Verse 4 to 8. Yes? I have my favorite readers somewhere around this church. This is one of them. Are you happy to hear the mic?
Yeah.
Acts 1:4-8. Yeah, and if you do New King James, I'll be happy.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine. Acts 1:4-8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Jerusalem, to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if you see what I'm saying. They thank God for revelation by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is not the job of the believer today to establish the kingdom. Yeah? The kingdom is in us. Amen? The kingdom is where? You know, it's not a political mission. You know, disciples are like, oh, Jesus, you've done it all. You've risen from the dead. So phase one is ended. Will you now take over politically? Once and for all. He said, no. That is not the business now. Yeah? The business is a spiritual kingdom, not a political kingdom. The political kingdom is coming. The choir sang about it. Amen? But right now, the kingdom is here, and it's a spiritual kingdom. Say with me, say, the kingdom of God is within me. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you what that kingdom is. Because he told them. They asked for one kingdom, but he gave them an alternative. He said, but you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The kingdom of God within you is the Spirit of God. Amen. It's a spiritual kingdom. With the Holy Spirit living in you, you can spread the kingdom of God on earth. It's a kingdom of salvation and healing and deliverance. Amen. The political is coming later. Okay? We are not to, the believer is not to carry guns and we want to enforce the kingdom. You don't enforce the kingdom of God to flesh and blood. Amen? It's a spiritual enforcement. Amen? It's through word and through spirit. And it's also through love. You know, one thing I have to keep reminding myself as a pastor is that when I look at people and dealing with people, and I know people can be in different phases, going through different things, sometimes as a pastor, I enjoy when I share. You know, when things are going well, when people have breakthrough, it's the greatest joy. I don't know any other bigger joy. I enjoy it so much. Like it was like my child, you know, was achieving that thing. But when there's challenging, I keep myself say, if I don't have love, I am what? I am nothing. Amen? Even if you speak in the tongues of men and angels, even if you cause mountains to move, you know, sometimes when people have spiritual gifts, you consider them to be spiritual. But that's not the greatest spirituality. Amen? You can be operating spiritual gifts and not have what? Love. If I don't have love, I am what? I am nothing. The kingdom of God within you is love. Not emotional. Because emotional love is a feeling. And if it feels good, I enjoy it like ice cream. I like a good feeling. Do you like a good feeling? Yeah, I do. But sometimes you will not always feel good. It's the reality of life. Amen? But the love of God is an action. Amen? You do it because it's right. You do it because it's the word. You do it because you believe it. But then, when you do it, it will produce results that will bring good feeling. Amen? When you take action based on the love of God, and you persevere and you're not impatient, it will produce results. And you will get a good feeling. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, he said, don't worry about the political kingdom. I mean, if God has called into politics, go there. But we're not trying to take over the world. Amen? Politically. We are invading the world spiritually. Amen? And we are claiming souls out of the world into the church. The organization, the official organization that represents Jesus in the world is the church. It's not the UK government. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we go into the world and we claim souls for what? The church. Amen. Now I'll give you some insight. You know that song we sang? It's a powerful song. But as we were singing, I was just meditating deeper when we talk about, you know, the day is coming when the whole world. Yeah? Please remind me the word. The whole world will do what? Yeah, and say you are God. I want you to understand that it's not this world. God is not going to force people to worship him. Amen? He will preach to them. Yeah? He will reach out to them. And in the tribulation, he will give them pain. The purpose of the pain is repentance. Yeah? But he can't rule over this world until everybody in the world freely submits to him. And so for that time to come, he will have to destroy the rebellious. It will happen in the tribulation. Yeah? The purpose of tribulation first is to push people to make a hard choice. Because right now you have an easy choice. Well, some people don't. Some people don't. But in general. But the days are coming. Yeah? Where it will be raining blood, fire, and smoke from the skies. It's in Acts. Joel predicted it. Yeah? It will be raining down. Yeah? People will have to make a choice between God and the devil. Like a stark choice. The beast will show up. And people have to choose to either worship the beast or the Antichrist. Or God. You can't be in the middle. Or you could if you could run into the woods where no one is. But then when you do that, you'll go hungry. Yeah? People will die of starvation. So it's a hard choice. People have to, their minds will be focused. They will need to make that choice. Yeah? Right now, people can stay in the middle ground because they are comfy. Yeah? But when you're not comfy, it's a stark choice. Amen? And when people reach that point, there are people who will choose God. Amen? Because all the counterfeits of the devil have been taken away. Yeah? You know, suffering sometimes can help you focus your mind. Amen. But there are people, even in the tribulation, that will still rebel and say no. It's amazing. Hallelujah. It's amazing. Sometimes you think because people are enjoying, that's why they're not choosing God. There are people who will still reject God in suffering. In fact, they will be cursing God for the suffering. Hallelujah. You see, but after God has given them all the time, because God is patient. God is what? He's not willing that any should. You say to that, that's character of God. Hallelujah. That's the character of what? God. If anybody perished, it wasn't God. It was a human being that failed. Whether they rejecting God or somebody refusing to preach to them. Amen? And every time you preach, you are increasing the chances of someone coming to Christ. Because faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. So, after all that, when God has shown his power and his glory, the heavens will open. They will see the sign of the Son of Man. They will see him in the heavens. It's not like, oh, if you can show me Jesus, I will believe. It will, if you look at, praise God, Revelation 6, it will open. And they will see the sign of the Son of Man. And when they see, you know what they will do? They will go and hide in the underground bunkers. See, hide our face from the rat. They will see it. So it's not like, oh, if I didn't see Jesus. But there are still people who will repent and there are those who will rebel. But when Jesus is about to come again, he will have to destroy all rebellion. Because he can't force anyone to worship him. Amen? Those, the whole world that will bow down to Jesus are those who have willingly chosen to follow him. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. You see, forceful worship is not acceptable to God. It must be willing. It must be voluntary. But God will keep reaching out to you until you get to that point that you're choosing, that you yield to him. Hallelujah. So he said, it's not a political kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And for you to spread this kingdom, what do you need? You need the Holy Spirit. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit both within you and also upon you. So let's say, I need the Holy Spirit within me and upon me. Now, when you are born again, the day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I hope you've done that. If you've not, it's available to you right now. Religion cannot take you to heaven. You cannot go to heaven by association. Say, my father is a pastor. And he's a faithful pastor, so I know I have my ticket. No, it doesn't work that. Hallelujah. It's personal. It's a personal relationship with God. Hallelujah. So if you have received Jesus, you know, we normally say that I remember growing up, you know, we use the term, if you are giving your life to Christ. Now that's correct, but it's not the most correct version. I'm a teacher of the word. It's correct that to be born again, you need to give your life to Christ. But that's not the most correct way to say it. To be born again is not what you give, it's what you receive. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and your what? And your Savior. You're giving your life to God. It's a response to what you have received. Hallelujah. So when you receive Jesus, when you believe him and you receive what he did for you and you accept and you make him your Lord and Savior, you are born again. You have a new heart. Now, you can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, he who is born of the flesh is what? It's flesh. If you are born of human nature, you are human. Amen? You are a son of Adam or daughter of Adam. But to be a son of God, you need to be born of the Spirit. Amen? So when you are born again, when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, it comes in. But how does it come in? It's the Holy Spirit. It comes. As many as are led by what? The Spirit of God. They are what? So you can't ever be a son of God if you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? That happens when you give your, when you receive Jesus. You know, he said, when you receive me, you've not just received Jesus, you've received the Father and the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there's more. See, there's more. See, the disciples of Jesus were born again. The moment they believed that Jesus raised from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He said, if you shall confess your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, that what? That God raised him from the dead. So that tells you that Thomas did not get born again the same time with the other disciples. Amen? Because they believed that Jesus rose from the dead before him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had a little bit of delay because he was a skeptic. Hallelujah. So, he said, you will be saved. So they were born again. But Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. Why? You need more. He said, I need more. You see, many times the battles we are fighting in our life, we are fighting it with the arm of flesh. And the arm of flesh, we achieve something. You know, I'm not saying it won't. You know, if you're a farmer and you sow seed in the ground, you till the ground, you will get something. Yeah? Isn't it? But if you want to get the overflow, the supernatural, look, you know, when you plant on a fertile ground that is well watered, yeah? And you sow seed, you get good fruit, isn't it? But what if you plant on a dry land with no water? To get fruit out of that land, your brain is not enough. Your effort is not enough. What do you need? You need the supernatural power of God. It is a supernatural power of God that goes into a difficult situation and brings a breakthrough. Hallelujah. It is a supernatural power of God that takes the Red Sea and opens it up. One group of people go through. The other group perish. Hallelujah. It's the power of God. Your effort, your brain cannot solve some problems. No matter how hard you try, and no matter how brilliant we are, and many times I'm talking to believers, we are resorting to the human ability to solve problems that are beyond our capability. Amen. Now, I'm not saying your human ability is useless, it is good, but it has limits. So you need power. Say, I need power. And the Bible says that, yes, you are born again, but you will receive what? Power. Because, look, talking to disciples, say, what do you want to face? You are going to evangelize the world. You know, when Jesus was alive, he never left Israel. All his journey was within Judea and Samaria and then the outskirts. Amen? He never. Hallelujah. But these people were to reach the world. It's a difficult situation. You need power. You need what? Power. If you are going to be a witness. Not just to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but to where? To all the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How could Apostle Paul leave Israel and Syria, all the areas he knew? It goes to Greece. Greece was a world power. Greece was a world power before Rome. In fact, in the days of Jesus, the official language of education and the elite was what? Greek. That's why your New Testament is written in Greek. Amen? And Greek still surpasses Latin. I mean, where does Latin compare with Greek? Even in the days of Rome, they kept on with Greek as the language of education. And your civilization today is built on the Greek model. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the signs of the devil today is to make you think like the Greek. Whereas here, we're trying to make you think like the Hebrew. Amen? Because in the Hebrew mindset, faith comes by what? By hearing. What God said is what the Hebrew mindset owes as super. But in the Greek mindset, it's about your intelligence, what you can see, what you can do with your power, what you can produce, what man can do. Humanism is a Greek concept. Hallelujah. Humanism enthrones man as God. Yeah? I am. Whereas, he is what? I am that I am. And I will be what I will be. Amen? Amen? You cannot democratize God. Hallelujah. What he says is law. But thank God that he's a good God. Say, my God is a good God. Hallelujah. So you need power. I need power. I need power. If you're going to change lives, if you're going to overcome a difficult situation, you try it. You push everything at it. Have you ever tried it? You know, you put everything at it. But it's not working. Amen? You need what? You need power. And it's an external empowerment. Hallelujah. This is not power within. It's power coming upon. Amen. It's power coming where? Upon. Then you can function. You can function beyond your natural ability. You can love beyond your natural ability. Your natural love has limit. Say, I've done everything I can do. Yes, you are correct. Now you need power. You remember that song? It says, more love and more power and more of you in my life. You need him more than ever before. Hallelujah. So let's go to Acts 2. In Acts 2, can you just read for me verse 1 to 4? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen. And you read that in a simpler version. It's talked about as the Spirit gave them this ability. Amen. They were speaking, but it was the Spirit that gave them what?
Ability.
The ability. Now, let me ask some questions as a teacher. So let me just take that. Acts 2, 1 to 4. I want you to tell me three signs that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Oh, no. Three signs of the Holy Spirit coming in Acts 2, 1 to 4. There are three signs. Yes? What are the signs of the Holy Spirit coming? Look at it. Read it. Open your Bible. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Read it. And then tell me three signs. Or you can name at least one sign. Name one sign. It's all in Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Or is it 4? Acts 2, 4. Can I limit it? Let me just check. Let me help you. Verse 4. So all I'm looking for, no. Verse 2. 2 to 4. Wind. You know, like, I was preparing the kids Sunday school. You know, I'd missed it. I know it, but I didn't know it was there. I mean, you know, you can read the Bible. You've read it. It's entering your brain, but it's not becoming revelation to you in your spirit. I know one of the signs of the Holy Spirit is wind. But I had missed it that it's there. He said there was a sound from heaven as that of what? A rushing, mighty wind. So the Holy Spirit reveals himself and operates as wind. So for example, when you pray and say, you know, let the wind of the Spirit blow upon this situation, it's a good prayer. Amen. It's a good prayer. Amen. You can pray and say, I invite the wind of the Spirit to blow upon my situation. It's a good prayer. Those words, they are not for fun. There's a reason. It's specific. Hallelujah. The wind of the Spirit. Amen? Like the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. What can the wind do for you? Somebody, anyone, what can the wind do for you? Because if the wind is a symbol of the Spirit, there's something it represents. What can the wind do for you in life, in biology, in physical, natural life? What is the good? What is the benefit of the wind? Sorry? Yes. What else? Okay, let me change. A rushing mighty wind. What can the rushing mighty wind do for you? Sorry? Thank you. It blows away some problems. In our lives are more spiritual than physical. Even the person you think is causing a problem, they may not understand their problem. There will be someone in your life that is causing you problems. But don't assume that they fully understand who they are. Yeah? There's an atmosphere that may be around them that is beyond them. You need the wind of the Spirit to blow it away. Amen? Amen? And so that's why someone said today from the Tinder or from the church that it's not like everything is not intellectual argument or intellectual reasoning. There are professors of theology in the uni that have no revelation of Jesus. They have committed their lives to analyze the Bible. And they come out and say, Jesus did not rise from the dead. Jesus was not born of a virgin. They have all the knowledge, but no revelation. So intellect is not enough. It's only the Greek mindset that tells you that your intellect is enough. It's not. You need the wind. Of what? Of the Spirit. Is there any other benefit of the wind? Any other benefit? So fresh. I like that freshness. Wind can bring you what? Freshness. Amen. Wind can also give you electricity. If you have a wind farm. There's one somewhere around Reading. When I'm driving into Reading, I see all this stuff. Okay. Any other benefit of the wind? Anybody? Is there something we missed? Yeah, it's power. It can move you yourself. Have you ever been in a semi-storm and you are trying to host it? Praise the Lord. Yes, give me another sign. Another sign of the Spirit. There are three there. Yes. Yes, man.
Speaking in other languages.
Speaking in other languages. I mean, if you're a believer, you don't enter to that. You should. Because it's on offer. Amen. You don't have to pay money. Amen. Sometimes you're going to pay money for something that will not do you good in the ultimate. And I see people doing it. I was talking to a young lady during the week, and she was like, why should pastor say that people should give money in church? I didn't have enough time to explore that, because I enjoyed these discussions. I was like, okay, for example, this clothes you're putting on, did the shopkeeper tell you to give some money? Do you go to restaurants? Do they tell you to just eat the food and give no money? Yeah. Have you ever gone to a cinema? So actually, you give your money to what you value. That's the economic model. There's no model. You will put your money. In fact, if you give me time to study your life, I can tell you the things you value. Because that's where your money will go to. Amen? Hallelujah. Where was I? We move from the wind to speaking. And I said it's on offer. Let me show you the secret. Everything God does, He does by speaking. Amen? And God said, let there be, and there was, and God saw that the light was. Amen? So if you are going to walk in God's power, you are going to be willing to do what? To speak. You will speak the word, and you will also speak under the influence of the Spirit. Usually it's not a Holy Spirit problem, it's a human problem. If you are not speaking, you are the one resistant to speaking. Amen? Bible says that they began to speak. Who was speaking? Holy Spirit or them? It's them. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them. Who gave them ability? The Spirit. Who spoke? It's a cooperation. Everything that God is going to do in your life and in the world requires the cooperation of man. Otherwise, God will have to force His way through. And that's not consistent with love. See, if you are walking in love, you are not seeking to manipulate. Ladies, are you listening to me? That's a feminine. The manipulate is a feminine version of control. Or you are not seeking to control. It's not genuine love of God. It's man's way. Amen? It's what? It's man's way. I remember many years ago when I started as a pastor. Even before. When I want to teach about marriage, I like to teach the part that belongs to the woman. Say, wife, submit to your own husband. He's not saying to submit to another person's husband. It's to your own husband. That's the part I like to teach. That was many years ago. I remember I had a friend in this church. I won't name him, but they know themselves. They were telling me that, no, what is important is your own part. Teach yourself your own part. I said, no, somebody has to remind the woman. But now that I've grown, I understand. God cannot judge you for another person's part. Amen? If somebody does not do their part, they face God. But God will judge you for your own part. So if you don't do your part, you are at greater danger. You know, the Bible says that if someone calls his brother a fool, they are at risk of hellfire. Have you ever read it? Now, as a younger believer, when you realize, you're afraid, I must not say fools. He didn't say you're going there. He just said you're putting yourself at risk. Just like many other things we do. So if I don't obey what God is telling me, I'm putting myself at risk. Does it make sense? He's not saying that, if you say fool like this, you're going to hell. No, it means that when you start that pathway, it's not going to lead to somewhere good. When you start begin to use swear words on somebody that God made, it's taking you down a path that will take you, sink you deeper and deeper into destruction. That's why you shouldn't even go down that path at all. Amen? That's why I said, I told some of you, I said, I'm not going to call anybody an idiot. Maybe not necessarily because they didn't behave like one, but because I don't want to go down that path. Because you're never going to stop. Yeah? You're going to keep elevating yourself and putting down others. Until you yourself start behaving like what? A super idiot. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, do your part. But to do that, to follow this one, I'm telling you, you need faith. You see, if you want God's solution, you always need faith. If you want man's solution, you don't need faith. Just use your brain and use your macho or femo. You don't know there's femo. Don't underestimate women. Don't ever underestimate women. Amen? Male and female, he created them. Say with me, say male and female. He created them. Accept it. Embrace it. Respect it. What did I say? Accept it, embrace it, respect it. It will bring you peace. Don't fight it. Amen? Don't fight it. The man is important and the woman is important. And he blessed them both and said, have dominion. Together in cooperation. When they are not cooperating, do your part and trust God. What you cannot do in your power, the wind of the Spirit can do. Amen. So one more sign. One more sign of the Holy Spirit. Is there? Acts 2, 1 to 4. Acts 2, 2 to 4. What's the third sign? Yes? Look at it. We talked about the wind. We talked about speaking in other tongues. And one more. There's one more there. Sorry? Fire! Fire! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Which of them rested upon them? The wind or the fire? It was the fire. Amen. The wind can work externally on others. Amen. The wind can work on situations. Yeah. Hello. The wind can work on what? Others and situations. But the fire, where does the fire work? It's on you. You carry the fire. Amen. When you read the Bible, you just think, you're just reading, okay, where they were going to just tell us that they were filled. No, every word there means something. It's just that we need revelation. The fire came. Well, it wasn't a fire that would burn them. That's why I said, the fire of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you, a believer who lost God, who are in obedience, is not to burn you or destroy you. That's why it wasn't fire that rested on them. It appeared like what? Flames. It cannot destroy you. It can only bless you. Hallelujah. When I ask for the Holy Spirit fire to come upon me, it's not for destruction. He said, John truly baptized with what? Water. But John said of himself, he said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what? With fire. What does fire do for you? I'm sure there's some very interesting answers to come. What can fire do for you? Now, please, we're looking at positive because the Holy Spirit fire, which comes upon you as a believer, is never to destroy you. Never. You follow me? Never. Yes?
It can heat you up.
Yes! You are running cold spiritually. When you're running cold spiritually, and that fire enters, you wake up. Yes, more.
It can burn away impurities.
Yes! And not destroy you. You see, it can purify, but not destroy. I want you to understand, I want you to set in your mind, the Holy Spirit fire coming upon a believer is not for destruction. Yes. The Holy Spirit fire can burn away impurities. That's absolutely true. Yeah, it's the work of grace. Amen. Yes, more. What can the Holy Spirit fire do for you?
Second, word of snakes, word of.
Yes. When you're carrying fire and the serpent, you know the serpent? You know him. He's the devil. And not just the devil, there are people who carry the devil. They may be wearing suit and tie. They may be earning 5 digits, but they are carrying the devil. Because you can't, it's not in observation. Amen? When you carry fire, they can't operate around you. Amen? They can't. Hallelujah. Because it will ward them up. Amen? Because they don't want to get burned. The fire of the Holy Spirit that you carry can burn evil. Amen? Any other thing? Any other thing? Fire? Any other? Fire? Positive things that fire can do? I've never heard one that I would love to hear.
Can give light.
Light! Fire and light work together. Just like the word and the spirit. The word is the light. The fire. The word is the source of the light. Yeah? And the fire. So they work together. So when you have your spiritual lamp, and your lamp is your spirit. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Your lamp is your spirit. Think about those 10 virgins. Your lamp is your spirit. It's your spirit that you bring to God. Yeah? They all took their lamps. They all brought their spirit. They are all born again. Because they brought their spirit. But your spirit, which is the lamp, leads what? Light. It needs to give light. And what? The light is sustained with the fire. Yeah? But the source of both of them is the oil. The oil is not the fire, and the oil is not the light. But it feeds the light, and it feeds the fire. Amen? Hallelujah? Are you with me? Fire and light, they go together. So when you say fire and light, they go together. Have you ever seen fire burning and there's no light? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it's the spirit that quickens, but the flesh profits nothing. He said, the word that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are what? And they are life. Amen. Let me begin to round up for time's sake. I have much more to say, but I just want to finish on time, and I want us to take some time to just worship God. I want to do a few things about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-off experience. There is a first time, but there are many refillings. Open your Bible to Acts. Let's show you that. Acts chapter... let me just verify. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Because what I want us to do today is to be refilled. If you are born again. If you are not born again, you can't be filled with the Spirit. You need to be born again first. Then you can be filled. Acts chapter 3. Let me just verify. Acts 4. Acts 4, 23-31. I hope I'm reading the right place. Acts 4, 23. Are you in Acts 4? Let me just verify. Yes, Acts 4, 23-31. Yes, please read. Follow the reading. Start to read from King James.
23.
New King James, sorry. Yes. New Acts King chapter 4, verse 23 to verse 31.
Okay.
I want to pick out a few things here that will bless us today, and then we'll go into particularize it for 5 minutes, and then we finish. Go on, please.
And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For they truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threat and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Now we're talking about the early church. In Acts chapter 2, they had the first filling. Before Acts 2, they were not yet filled. They had the Holy Spirit, but they were not filled to the overflowing. Yeah? They were not into power. But when the Holy Spirit came, and that's why you cannot pray again, and you should never pray that the Holy Spirit should come from heaven, because he has not left the earth. The church is still on earth. See, when we say the church is still on earth, and the Holy Spirit lives within the church. Amen? But you can pray that the Holy Spirit should come upon you. Amen? He's here. But he can come upon you. Not from heaven. He's here. Amen? Say he's here. Hallelujah. He's in your bedroom. Anywhere you are, the Holy Spirit is there. And he's able to come upon you. But I want to look now. They're already filled. But here, they are praying for what? They had a refilling. Hello? Is it possible to fill a bottle? It's full. Then, the next day, you need a refilling. Why would you need a refilling? Yes? Why would you need a refilling? Anyway, the bottle was full of water. You took it to school. The next day, morning, you are refilling your bottle. Anybody experience that? Yes? Let me find someone who has not spoken. Why would you need a refilling for a full bottle that was full yesterday?
So we fill it with fresh water.
Okay. There's a bottle. There are bottles there. I don't know what they're doing. Amen. Why do you need? That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Anybody want to add to that? Yeah, I'll come to you.
Because it's spilling out.
Spilling out. And then what?
It's all drunk.
You're being used up. What uses up your full bottle? The int is in Acts 4. You know the apostles, they were filled. The next day, they did this miracle, yeah? The lame man at the beautiful gate. Yeah? By the time we go to Acts 4, what depleted their fuel? Something happened to them and their fuel was depleted. What was it? You read it? Is there? Is there? Is there? What? It's tribulation and persecution. When you face a hard time, your fuel goes down. Because you are human and your emotions get into it. Even say, I'm human and I have emotions. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen. You can't chase away your emotions, you just need to sanctify them. You see, you can have sanctified emotions where when your mind is renewed and you're yielding to the Spirit, yeah, those emotions will work in your favor. But when your emotions are not controlled, they will bring you down. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. If you're in the wrong place, yeah, in the wrong atmosphere, you can be brought down. Yeah? That was how Samson failed, yeah? You know, he was the strongest man in his day. But on the laps of Delilah, he was nothing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, they face persecution. They are doing a good job. A layman was healed. Man who has never walked. Over 40 years old. Was healed. The whole world should be celebrating. Even the Pharisees said they cannot deny this miracle. It has happened. But instead of celebrating them, what did they do? They persecuted them. They forbid them. It can get into you. things can get into you. Yeah? You're making all the efforts to impress somebody. They are not impressed. It can deplete your fire. I know you are on fire. But there are people in this world that can pour cold water on your fire. Amen? It doesn't have to get to you, but if you let it, it will. Amen? You know, someone's pouring cold water, it doesn't have to get, but you, because you're human, in your moment of weakness, you will just let it. You know? Let me share something. Recently, I'm having some hands show up in my kitchen on the floor. Every time I see the hand, I'm eliminating them. Not because I eat ants, but because they are trespassing. I don't want them in my food, yeah? And this morning I had to do something. Then the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. Like, this is not the best solution. You need to find where they're coming in from. Otherwise, you're going to put a lot of effort killing so many hands, and they will keep coming. Because they have a gateway. Amen. You need to find the gateway. Otherwise, you will burn a lot of energy. Yeah? Trying to solve a problem that you won't solve. Amen? So I said, Holy Spirit, please show me where they're coming from. That the Holy Spirit can do for you. But it may not help you kill the hands. I can show you how to block it. Praise the Lord. So, now how do you get refilled? The Bible says that. Verse 31, it says, when they had prayed. If your prayer life is going down, you will not get refillings. You need to pray. When you are running cold, running still, running what else? Offended. You need to you had fire. You ought to know when your fire is going down. It wasn't your fault. It was the devil. Yeah, it was the what? How does it operate? Distraction and pressure. Pressure can get to you. Yeah? But you're not going to overcome by stamping down those ants. You know stamping? They'll keep coming. Amen? You need to what? See, when they are prayed. Another thing he said, they were in one accord. See, when we are believers, that's why lockdown is a bad thing. It's a very bad thing spiritually. Because lockdown affects your ability of believers to be in one place. He said they were together in one place. That's when the Holy Spirit came the first time. He said they were together in where? One place. Not online. The online was just used to patch it. We need to be together. There's greater power in being together in one place, in one accord. Praying and praising God. Then we have created the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Let's stop it there. Let's rise up because of time. What I want to do tonight is I want to look at those concepts. We are together in one place. In one accord. Praying and praising God. It's the atmosphere of being refilled. And we need many refillings. So long you're going to walk through this life, you need, because you'll be drained. You will what? Be drained, because you are human and you are living among human beings. But you need the wind. Say, I need the wind. You need the fire. Say, I need the fire. You need the speaking, the prophesying. You need it. You need the power. Say, I need the power. Hallelujah. That's what makes a difference. That's the difference between you and the unbeliever who is talented or intelligent. You have supernatural. You have access to supernatural power. You can produce the results beyond what nature permits. Hallelujah. I want to talk to God and just ask. Let's just lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves. You know? And just lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They lifted up his name. They were in one accord. Let's just enjoy the fact that you're in church with the people of God. Let it satisfy you. You know? It's part of what, how you get full. You know? Throw away any offenses. Just be grateful. You are a child of God. You're in the presence of the Lord with the people of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you came early or came late. You are here. Hallelujah. And God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Then be willing. You know, I told you will not speak if you don't want to speak. It's not the business of forcing anybody to do anything. But when you're willing, you have given him permission. He will come. He will renew you. He will fill you. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, the Agnus Dei we sang earlier. Agnus Dei. And then when you're doing that, just for a moment, forget about everything that's going on. You know, your emotions do affect your feeling. Yeah, because they can drain it. That's the issue. Yeah, they can't feel you, but they can drain. But if you let go, forget about those things and just focus on the Lord. Focus on him. Just love him. Just praise. Just know that he loves you. You are his child. You are born again. You've received Jesus. And if you have not, you can do that now. And then open yourself and say, Holy Spirit, you know, just be conscious that the Holy Spirit is here. And then talk to him gently that, fill me afresh. And he will. Because that's what he's here for. Hallelujah. That's what he's here for. So let's have the words for Agnus Dei. Did you have the words? The words for Hallelujah, Agnus Dei. So that's why I wanted to practicalize it before we leave here. Yeah? We're just going to lift up his name. In fact, as I was telling you, I found that it's not so much as past singing so many songs or saying, Holy Spirit, come. No. Because Holy Spirit has not come to represent himself. Amen? You just need to lift up the name of the Lord. Yeah? Hallelujah. And be willing and be open for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And then he will refill you. He will refresh you. He will empower you. Hallelujah. He will take you out of miry clay. Plant your feet on solid ground. So sing this song, you know, like it's just you and God. Things have happened in the past, yes. But don't worry about them right now. Yeah? You are currently going through some challenges. Yeah? And me too. But don't worry about them now. Just it's you and God. He loves you, he cares about you. He has provided his spirit to help you in this life. Take advantage of it. Hallelujah.
For the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Many of us here, you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit before. So I know that that's not the issue. The issue now is that you need a refilling. And if you've not been filled before too, you need a filling. Because you need power. You need the divine power in this life. So ask the Holy Spirit gently, invite him to fill you afresh. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh. Just say it in simple words. Holy Spirit, I love you. I need you more than ever before. I ask you, fill me. Come upon me. Holy Spirit, come upon me afresh. Blow upon my situations with your wind. Praying a very powerful prayer there. Ask the Holy Spirit to blow upon your surroundings. upon your issues, upon every other thing going on in your life with this wind. We invite the wind of the Spirit upon this church and upon every situation, every matter, every issue, every problem, every challenge, every difficulty. We receive the wind. It's not just wind, it's the rushing, mighty wind of the Spirit. But I receive the rushing, mighty wind of the Spirit upon all my situations, upon all my challenges, upon all the difficulties. The wind of the Spirit to blow away the stillness, the evil. Holy Spirit, come upon me and come upon us with your fire. You know, the fire comes to settle on you. Where I've been distracted, where I've been offended, whether with men or with God, it drains the fire. I repent of it. I repent of all offense. I embrace the love of God. I embrace the love of God. Towards everybody that ever offended me, treated me bad, maltreated me, bullied me, let me down, betrayed me, I forgive and I receive love towards them. You say, love your enemies. That's not possible in your human power, but it is possible in the power of the Spirit. I receive love, the love of God. Let it overflow. I forgive, I release. I myself, I repent where I've missed, I receive forgiveness. Above it, I receive love. Love. Hallelujah. I rededicate myself to love. The love of God, which never fails. And I ask, Holy Spirit, come upon me, settle upon me this day in your fire. I receive fresh fire. I receive power to be a proof producer of the living Jesus everywhere I go. When people come in contact with me, they will know that I have a different spirit. It's the Spirit of God. They will know that I carry power. Is the power of God. They will know that I have love. Is the love of God. They will know that I have life. Is the life of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. The Holy Spirit is already working in you. Whether you know it or not. The Holy Spirit is working. He is working. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is working. He is working. He's here. He never went away. He's here. And as you are giving him permission, he's upon you. You're giving him permission, he's come upon you. According to your permission, it's come upon you. Hallelujah. You live here today empowered. You live here today encouraged.